One of the most unique experiences in the Catholic world is times when there's a papal election. In fact, it's a unique experience worldwide, as even the secular media usually gives it quite a bit of attention. And it's a time when there's very much anticipation and speculation about who will the new pope be and where will he come from. And then when the white smoke finally comes from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel, what will his new name be? And what will his first words be when he comes out onto the balcony there at St. Peter's Basilica? And then there's this period also of kind of expectation and anticipation for the new pope's first encyclical. An encyclical is a letter that the pope writes to the church throughout the whole world. And traditionally, the very first encyclical of the pope is seen to be something of an indication of what he sees as kind of his priority for the church during his ministry as Roman pontiff. And so it was in 1978, when after just about a month as pope, Pope John Paul I died. And there was all the speculation on who it would be, and then the surprise that this Polish cardinal, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, had been elected pope. And this time of anticipation, what will his first words be to the church in his first encyclical? And in early 1979, St. John Paul II published his first encyclical called Redemptor Hominis, Latin for Redeemer of Man. And the very first sentence of that first encyclical of St. John Paul II was this: "The Redeemer of Man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history." That's quite a claim. Jesus Christ is the center of the whole universe and of all of history. And we saw very clearly from the very start that the mission of St. John Paul II as the year 2000 approached would be to call the church and the whole world to focus our attention on Jesus Christ as the center of everything. That truth came to my mind as I prayed with the gospel passage that we have for this third Sunday in ordinary time, precisely because of one word that is used twice in this evening's gospel. It's the word fulfilled. We heard at the very beginning Luke's introduction to his gospel, in which he says, "I've decided to write this gospel because, like many others, I want to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us." And then Jesus himself, we heard, goes after his baptism to the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath. And he reads from the Old Testament. And then he sits down and all the people here of his hometown have this sense of anticipation. The eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. Maybe something like that experience of anticipation when there's a new pope. What will he say? And the words of Jesus: "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." That word "fulfilled" really summarizes everything that John Paul II said in that first sentence of his first encyclical, that everything centers on Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of being and life and meaning and purpose. And in a particular way, in this little anecdote from St. Luke's Gospel, our Lord was teaching the people that he is the fulfillment of everything that's been written over all those centuries of the Old Testament. In the Gospel, he read this short passage from Isaiah and said, "This is fulfilled in me." And so the church has always understood the Old Testament to be precisely this long centuries worth of preparing for the coming of Christ. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Malachi chapter 3, verse 24, and everything in between, it's all centered on Christ. It all leads up to him. So every Sunday throughout the year, our first reading is paired up very intentionally by the church with the gospel. And the first reading, except during Easter season when it comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the rest of the year, it's taken from the Old Testament. And then a particular gospel is chosen to show where what happened at that moment in the history of Israel is now fulfilled, given its fullness of meaning in the life, the words, the deeds of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this evening's example. We heard in our first reading this story from the Old Testament, in which the people have just returned from exile. They've been banished from the Promised Land, from Jerusalem. And they come back to find all of Jerusalem basically in ruins. And most grievously of all, the temple, the place most sacred to the Jewish people, is in ruins. And they put forth all this effort to rebuild the temple. And it all leads up to this moment where the people gather to celebrate for the first time in years there in the temple, the Feast of Tabernacles. And this priest, Ezra, stands up and reads from the Old Testament law. And the people weep when they hear the law. I think it's kind of a twofold weeping. First, just the profundity of that moment, when for the first time in such a long time, they hear the law of God proclaimed there in the temple. But also there's that weeping of repentance, because they recognize their failure to live the law of God. And then Ezra does what the priest would do after reading from the law of God. He explains it. He basically gives a homily and interprets it for the people. And so then we come to the gospel, and Jesus, like Ezra, gets up and he reads the word of God to the people. And when he sits down, the people expect him to give a homily, to interpret the word of God for them. But Jesus does something very different. He says those words that we heard. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, if you want to understand what I just read for you, you have to look to me. You have to come to me. You have to find it in me. Not just in some teaching that I give, but in my very person. And this is why, because the law of God that Ezra read in the Old Testament is seen in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what a human life looks like that is perfectly in accord with God's law. And so you and I, we struggle to live the law of God. We fall so often. We sin. And so often, our failure to grow and to live the law of God more perfectly comes about because we just want to understand the law and then try really hard to live it. But in fact, the only way to truly live the law of God is to come to Jesus Christ and to say to him, you give me your life. Give me your grace, your strength, because on my own I can't live the law of God. It's only in you, the fulfillment of that law, that I can ever hope to live that law myself. And so, my friends, that's why we come here every Sunday to the Mass. Because here in Holy Mass, the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ is made truly present for us on the altar and then offered to us in Holy Communion. So that as he perfectly lived and fulfilled the law of God, we can draw from his life and little by little grow towards that same kind of perfection. Little by little, we can become, if you will, other Christs who grow in imitation of him. Jesus Christ is the center of the universe and of history. Let's come to him this evening with open hearts, receptive hearts, allowing our Lord, by his grace, to mold and shape our hearts. so that we might, as the fruit of our encounter with him here, live more perfectly the law of God, and that those words of Scripture might be fulfilled in us as they were perfectly fulfilled in him. St. Patrick, pray for us.